be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry.
Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. Today on the show, we are going to follow up on the information that we talked about last week about why some people are late and why some people come early. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what to do if you're a person who always comes late. And it really has affected your life. One of the things we've talked about last week is that the consequences can be really big. Losing jobs, frustrating people, losing friends, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on WRIR 97.3 FM in Richmond, Virginia. And I have, every week we talk about issues pertaining to mental health. We try to talk about things that pertain to interpersonal relations, mental illness. We talk about addiction, sex, and sexuality. I try to talk about things you can do to improve your life so you can live the life you want to have, to be more thoughtful and emotionally honest, so you can fulfill your dreams. We talk about things that are psychologically complex in nature because psychological issues are complex, and so many of us are so judging and judgmental about them, yet we don't really understand why we're plagued by these things. So while I know all of us have had issues that are emotional in nature, and that we all have blind spots and get confused, I know that we are not always so good at sharing our experiences or talking about our sadness or our depression or telling people how anxious we might have or that we have panic attacks, as if that is something to be absolutely ashamed of. And we've all felt it. Everybody's had peer pressure. All of us have lost people and things that just break our heart. The list goes on and on. Everyone has issues that affect us emotionally. And, you know, society seems to underfund all of the mental health programs. And we have some very confused notions of how to make our pain go away. So each week on Mental Health Matters, I like to talk about a topic and make it very understandable to people in hopes that they might be able to work on their own lives in healthy and therefore more fulfilling ways. You can listen to us, as I said, every Thursday on the radio 97.3 FM in Richmond, or you can log on to our website, www.wrir.net, and listen to us in real time. From there, you can find my website by just clicking on my show once you get on to WRIR's website. If you'd like to send me a thought, a note, a question, or a subject for another show, or you'd like to call today and ask questions, please feel free. My number is 649-9737 today, 649-9737, And if you want to send me a question, you can certainly do so onto my email, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters U-R, Mental Health Matters, all one word, @gmail.com. And matter of fact, somebody did send me an important question on my email last week, and I am going to actually respond to that after we talk about being late and what we can do to begin not to be late. Last week, I talked a little bit about the reasons that people are late, and I'm just going to highlight them. I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of that. If you'd like to hear all of those, you're certainly welcome to get onto my website and get the archived show. So I said that some people had a hard time acknowledging responsibility for their lateness and tend to blame outside circumstances. It's always the traffic, it's this, it's that, not realizing that everything takes time and that they have to give themselves time to get someplace. someone who tries to squeeze as much as they can into every minute, and they're always busy. The deadliner, people who need that last minute jolt of adrenaline. The indulger, people who just, you know, procrastinate and they don't exercise self-control. The rebel, someone who thinks your deadline is your deadline and I do not have to listen to authority or follow the rules. The absent-minded professor, somebody who's easily distracted or maybe has some ADHD, and they sort of just get caught up in their own heads and forget what they're doing. The evader, someone who feels anxiety about their environment and tries to control it so much that they can't stop their own routine to get on to what they need to do. We then talked about people who are afraid, really. They don't want to show up first. They're embarrassed, and so they're always trying to hedge their bets with time because time makes them anxious. People who are culturally different. In other cultures, being late is not an issue, and time is much more fluid. We talked about depression or chronic depression, which is called dysthymia. People who are angry and want you to feel their anger, and how they do it is by showing up late. We talk about embarrassed social anxiety and never want to be in the spotlight. And I think I just highlighted that again. So there are some levels of anxiety in all of the things that I just highlighted. And then we talked a little about why people are chronically early. But I'm going to stay today and focus on why people are late. We just focused on why people are late. And now I want to talk about some of the things that you can do. So, you know, you have to decide that you want to make a change. And it's important to recognize that nothing changes unless you acknowledge that you want to change it, and that it's okay to say, yeah, this isn't so good for me. I want to make this different. And you have to acknowledge the problems it has caused you. If you've ever lost a job because you're late all the time, that's a problem in your life. If you've lost friends because you're chronically late, that's a problem in your life. So while it seems so oversimplified for me to say, you got to hear, nothing's going to change until you decide, I really need to make this better. Now, I said one thing before where I said that people are depressed and sometimes it makes it hard for them to motivate to get themselves together, to get from one place to another. But there are people who literally have a horrible time making that transition from sleep to awake. And while they're not chronically late any other time, in the morning, they have a really hard time making that transition from sleep to wake. So as I begin to talk about the things you might be able to do to keep yourself from being late all the time, I want to just highlight a little bit of difference by pointing out this person who may not be able to get out of bed in the morning. So if you are a person who may not be able to get out of bed in the morning and it is a constant fight for you, there are a few things you need to begin to look at. You just may be someone who needs a little bit more sleep. And while that is hard for people to hear, you have to hear it. You may be a person who just needs a little bit more sleep. Systemically, we are all different. It is not a statement of character to say that you're a person who needs to get more sleep. You might be a person who has a really tough time falling asleep at night because you wind up during the day and then you have a hard time winding down before you go to sleep. And I will say to you, then you need to stop earlier to wind down. Don't try to get things done till the last minute. If you cannot make that very important transition from being awake to getting to sleep and then making that transition from waking up to getting to from sleeping to waking up, then you need to highlight that as an issue in your life that needs to be dealt with and addressed. You need to get to bed earlier. You need to stop earlier. You need to give yourself a little bit more time for sleep if you're a person who can't get up in the morning. Those are important things to do. And I would say to you, concretely, try it for a month and see if it makes a change in your life. If you always have trouble getting out of bed in the morning, and that's been a chronic problem for you in your life, then it's really important. You might be a person who sleeps through alarms where somebody else doesn't. It's not a character flaw. It's a systemic issue that you can address. And you might have to address it in several ways. I actually have a client who every single morning, somebody calls her and doesn't let her go back to sleep. And she has had to do this because she was being late every day to work and she was really in fear of losing her job. She has not been late once since she started this new system. So if you need somebody who doesn't mind pushing you around to pull you out of bed every morning, then that's what you need to do if that is an issue for you. If you are going to sleep through your alarm, then you may need a different kind of alarm. And it might need to be a person either by phone call or somebody in your house. If you are a person who just has trouble making that transition, then you've got to do something that motivates you to get out of bed in the morning so that you don't find yourself late for work all the time. And the motivation might be something that is a real payoff for you that you literally won't allow yourself to do if you don't get up and get started at a certain period of time. And we can all motivate ourselves if we put some energy into thinking what would be motivating. Okay, that's a whole separate issue, and I wanted to just highlight it. So, okay, the first thing you got to do is, if you're a person who's chronically late all the time, is you have to define what it is. I just named all the things, and you can listen to the show again from last week and hear what all those things are. You got to name it. The reason I'm late all the time is that I try to put so many things into my day that I'm afraid of stopping to make the transition. And if that is true, so we need to name it. If you're a person who doesn't know how to make transitions from doing one thing to another, then you need to figure out if that's you. If you have some anxiety going on, you need to figure out if that's you. So we just talked about, you know, are you spacey? Are you that absent-minded professor? I want you to think about what keeps you from being somewhere on time. So last week, right after the show, I went for a walk with a friend of mine, and we had this conversation. And she said something that just was so fascinating to me, because I'm thinking, oh my God, that's me. That's it. I got it. And this was what it is. She is so afraid to waste time that if she has to be somewhere, let's say at 10 o'clock, and she was in the middle of doing something, and she knows it takes 15 minutes to get there, but there could be traffic, and then it would take 25 minutes to get there, she'll always leave with the 15 minutes because she doesn't want to be in the car for 10 minutes and have nothing to do, because it would make her feel bad, like she was wasting time. And I thought, oh my God, that's me. I hate to waste time. But what I realize I do without even realizing it is I always, and I mean always, have something in the car to do if I have to sit and wait. I always have a book. I have a magazine. I have a puzzle that I might be doing. I always have something to do that I feel like will keep me from that feeling of wasting time. So that's it. If you can begin to see, what do I have trouble with? Okay, what if you're a person who has a hard time assessing time? Well, what's really important for people to do is, if you are one of those people, you need to think backwards from when you have to be somewhere, where it is in relation to where you are. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to say to yourself, okay, I need to be at the play at 7:30. If there's no traffic, I can leave my house at 7 and have enough time to park and walk to the theater. If there's a little bit of traffic, that might not be enough time. So, okay, so now so let me give myself 15 extra minutes for traffic because I don't want to be late. So now instead of leaving at 7, I'm leaving at 6:45. And it always takes me 15 minutes to put on my makeup, always. So now I'm not now I'm going to start getting ready. If I have to leave at 6:45, I'm going to start getting ready at 6:30. But it takes me a half hour to shower and get dressed. So I'm going to start showering and get dressed at 6. And it always takes me 10 minutes to decide what I want to wear. So now I'm going to start getting ready at 6:10. And you work backwards from there and you overestimate a little bit. But if you don't take the time to externalize the process, you're not going to really be able to think it through properly. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters here on WRIR 97.3 FM on your radio dial in Richmond, Virginia. And we're talking today about ways of dealing with your always being late and how to address the issue. So I just talked about counting backwards from where you are and incrementally thinking yourself forward and externalizing the process. It has never worked for you to just wing it. So don't wing it. Get really clear with yourself. Okay. So, and we talked about people who are afraid that they're going to get there early and then there's going to be a time waste. Always have things with you that you can do, A, or B, learn to sit still. You know what? There's no crime in sitting in your car for 10 minutes before you get there. If you don't want to be the first one into the party, well, then sit in the car for 10 minutes and do some breathing exercises. Calm down. That might actually be something to do that would feel nice to you. It's not against the rules to sit down for 10 minutes. It's something we should all learn to do. Okay, so another thing that we talked about are people who need that last jolt of anxiety in order to get themselves to do anything. It is a motivator for them. I would absolutely encourage those people to allow themselves to be motivated by something else. And perhaps it's external that they can be motivated by. So if they then want to say, I'm motivated a little bit by that adrenaline push. So motivate yourself by giving the adrenaline push in a different way, which is, let me see if I can, how fast I can get something done. And that you kind of race against yourself in a way. And you literally time yourself to see how much time things take to get done. And make it a game for yourself, because people who are adrenaline junkies like games and they like to win. And if you're playing against yourself, you can always win if you're the person you're trying to create the standard with. So again, you can't do that if you're just oblivious to your own issues. Okay. And if you're a person who is constantly blaming other things, oh, it was the traffic, it was this, if it was that, then you want to stop that. Because you know what? You're 100% responsible for what goes on in your life. Not 99%. No, 100% responsible for what goes on in your life. Maybe not what happens externally, but clearly what you do to respond to or to create the chaos in your own life. And you're the one who needs to manage that. So don't lie to yourself. That's almost the first thing. That is the first line of defense here, is don't lie to yourself. All right, let me talk a little bit about other things you can do. Okay, if you're angry and you want to find a way to express your anger, do it verbally and do it in a way that you might be able to sort out the issue. Don't express it by being passive aggressive. And being passive aggressive means you're playing out your lack of concern or your aggravation or whatever it might be by being late and stirring up negative feelings with other people. If you want to understand anger in a way that makes sense to you, you have to recognize that passive aggressive behavior has no, it doesn't solve problems, it just creates more, and all it does is sustain your anger. So deal with the anger. Don't play it out on the people in your life and then blame them for creating it. Okay, now here's another thing. Some people have a hard time with transition. I just said that, okay? So some people can't stop talking. They can't make the transition from one thing to another. And we just talked about externalizing time so you can pay attention to how much time you need to get here or get there, and that's important. But sometimes the hard part is that you don't know how to disengage from a conversation that you're in or a task that you're doing. And I want you to realize that it is perfectly okay to say to someone, you know what, I know we're in the middle of this conversation, but excuse me, I have to go because I need to be somewhere in X amount of time, and disengage yourself and move on. Don't think that you're so important, that what you're doing, that you can't move on to the next thing. And if you're talking to somebody, your conversation, and someone else is waiting for you, it just isn't okay. 99 and 99/10 percent of the time, maybe you're helping somebody with a big old crisis, and if you leave, their whole life is going to fall apart. Okay, I'm good with that. But if it's casual conversation, then the person who you need to be more responsible to and responsive to is the person you're meeting, because they're waiting for you. The task you're going to move on to, you've got to be mindful of that. Okay, so these are all things you can do to help yourself to not be late. And again, let's just highlight the very first part of it, which is acknowledge why you're chronically late and then begin to solve the problems. And we have highlighted a few things that you can do. All right, I want to change gears here because I got a note from somebody who sent me a very serious question, and I want to be able to address it. If you have a question for me today, please feel free to call. The number is 649-9737, 649-9737. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. I got a note from an individual, a young woman. She's 28 years old, and she wrote me a very serious note, and I really want to respond to her question, and I bet it's something that other people think about. This woman wrote and said that she is one of three children. Her mother and father are still married, but her mother began to have problems with what they thought was depression when this woman who wrote to me was in her early teens. She is the youngest of her three siblings. And really what became clear is that her mother had a pretty severe form of manic depressive disorder, which is what we called it in those days. In these days, we call it bipolar disorder. But she had the kind of bipolar disorder that she became severely depressed and was that necessitated hospitalization, and that she also had several severe manic episodes that necessitated hospitalization. Her mother's bipolar disorder has been managed fairly well throughout the last 20 years, but now she's, but it's exhausting, and she's on medication, And luckily, she has the loving support of this woman's father. And when they go back in history, they begin to see that there were other people in the family who had this malady. Now her brother has been, who's had some chronic depression issues in his late 20s, actually started having depression issues when he was in college, is having worse issues now, and has had some occurrence of mania. While the mania has not been as challenging as the mania her mother experienced. And this woman wrote and said that now that her brother's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, clearly her mother has it, and she's pretty sure that there are other members in the extended family. What does this put her at risk for bipolar disorder? It's a very heartfelt question. And I want to say to you that bipolar disorder is a genetically predisposed issue for many, many people. And it does clearly run in families. And that is something that she certainly has reason to have some concern about. But I would ask this woman many, many questions before I would tell her that she needs to be overly concerned about it. In her note to me, she says that she's not aware of ever really having to manage depression. She has gone to a therapist several times, but mostly for interpersonal issues and some issues in regard to her parents. But I would say to you, if you are a person who is tethered to your depression and in and out of having very black times in your life, and you know that and can note that, then you'd know what that feels like. And I would ask all those questions to try to see if she's really ever even struggled with those feelings of real tremendous depression. And I would then ask all those questions to see if she had ever had any kind of episodes that looked like mania. And it is absolutely not a foregone conclusion at all, in any way, shape, or form, that this woman is going to suffer from bipolar disorder because her mom suffered from bipolar disorder. It makes her more susceptible to having this neurology, but it is clearly not a foregone conclusion. So I want to say that if I were this woman, I would maybe just go to talk to a therapist to have a little evaluation, to talk specifically and clearly about the things she has thought and felt over the years, and whether that she may be today in her life more susceptible. Now, things happen sometimes after a transition, like having a baby or going through menopause, or because those are very hormonal times. And there might be a change in chemistry that would trigger that. But again, just because your mom had this, just because your brother has this, doesn't mean you are going to have that. And I will tell you that learning how to manage your problems in life, learning how to acknowledge sadness, learning how to deal with interpersonal issues. One of the things that she said in her letter is that she's gone to a therapist several times to really deal with interpersonal issues. To me, that is a really cool thing to do, because the better you have skills for dealing with the nuances in your life, the better you're going to do with your mental health. And it makes no sense for you to live in any kind of fear, because if you're 28, you have never felt that kind of black hole depression, and you've never felt like you've had the even bits and pieces of that mania, there's no reason to think that this is going to happen to you. I will tell you that the first break for so many people who have bipolar disorder is going to come in their transition from high school to early adulthood. Actually, a lot of psychotic disorder begins to be evident at that time. And I think we've talked about that before on this show. if you have other questions for me and you would like me to answer them, please write to me, Your Mental Health Matters, UR Mental Health Matters. Those are the letters, UR Mental Health Matters, all one word, at gmail.com. Next week, I am going to have a woman come speak who has lived through some severe mental illness. She has a great story, and I really hope you all tune in to Mental Health Matters next Thursday, 1 o'clock on WRIR 97.3 FM.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it up.